Are we using the hymnals or the other?
Yeah, just hymnals today.
Thank you. Ta-da! The great pastor.
Oh, I forgot about the delay downstairs. All right. Everything looks like it's working? Doesn't look like it's working.
How can you tell?
The basement people should come up. Can you hear me on the live stream? The basement people should come up.
I just realized. That's funny. We watched a silly show that they were talking about mole people, and it was just silly. Yeah, that's why. Sci-fi.
Are
we
good, right? Yeah.
Have issues?
I hear you. Page one.
No, I just said if they have issues.
Page one in your hymn book. Oh, worship the King. Mentioned that this was written by a relative of Jill Albaugh, Henry Alford, just a few years ago. He died in 1871. Come, ye thankful people. Thank you. song, people think of Thanksgiving, but it's actually, it has a lot to do with the second coming. Pay attention to the lyrics there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. 4:15. We're marching to Zion.
5:14.
We're marching to Zion. If you can, you can stand. It's easier to march when you're standing. Prayer requests in. We turn the live stream off and pray in private. But if you're online, get your prayer requests in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. And we want to welcome our onliners. Say welcome, onliners.
Welcome, onliners.
Hey, Mark.
And,
hey, Frank.
As we have explained that we have some folks who live on the other side of the world and they'll be watching this when they get up in the morning. Howdy to some folks in Guam and Australia. And I think our folks in Europe and England watch this live because it's late afternoon.
Yes. Brother James.
It's like 6 o'clock right now.
So James. Yeah, did you already say that? Who else we got over there?
Lady James.
I don't forget you.
Elizabeth Paulus? We had Elizabeth Paulus over in the
UK. Yeah, learned from her one. Thank you. It's a blank. Oh. And I guess everybody got a prayer card. If you want one here, we'll collect those at the end. And so we'll remind you to mute your mobile devices or switch to silent mode. Thank you. Ron was like, that's pretty music. I like that. Did Ezra come with his sword?
Into the building with his sword up.
Like, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
All right, a current events update. On to headline reviews in the news. Number one, question, if the vaccine works, why such concern about the unvaccinated?
Preach.
Several of us already talked this morning, is that what you're seeing today is not science. It's right. Scientism. It's a cult. It's a mental cult that you have to simply accept what's told you without critically thinking. Now, that they've made the job easy because for the last 30 years or so, the public schools have not taught children how to think critically. Mm-hmm. It'll always produce atheists and agnostics. Because if you think critically, there's too much evidence for the existence of God, the veracity of Scripture, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to not be a Christian. But as long as a person doesn't think critically, they remain in unbelief. And we've got some books and videos of those who are interested on those subjects. Could it be that the vaccines are not working? As designed, at least. We don't know what they're actually doing and won't know for a long time. This is from OAN, China virus breakthrough cases among fully vaccinated reveal vaccine much less effective than predicted. It's not an opinion, it's fact.
Breakthrough cases of the virus continue to climb. Evidence suggests the vaccines are not nearly as effective as the media and medical establishment predicted. Here's One America's Pearson Sharp.
With a surge in new Delta variant cases around the country, growing evidence suggests the vaccine isn't nearly as effective as the mainstream media and medical establishment insist that it is. One America News visited an urgent care center in Southern California, where doctors say roughly 40% of their new COVID cases are among fully vaccinated patients. One such patient, Brian Conway, was fully vaccinated when he came down with a severe case of the China virus and very nearly died.
So, Brian, you got the vaccine, and then you later came down with coronavirus. Tell us about it.
Basically, I got the vaccine in early March, the first shot and the second shot.
Which variety was it?
From Pfizer.
Pfizer vaccine.
Pfizer vaccine from March 1st and March 22nd or 3rd. I was fully vaccinated. About a month ago, on a Thursday, I got a headache, which is very unusual for me to get a headache. And I just felt absolutely horrible. I got tested and turned up positive. Monday morning, I showed up here with Dr. Tyson.
And how severe were your symptoms when you came in here?
I'm 67 years old, and I've never in my life felt that bad.
So you couldn't breathe?
I couldn't breathe at all. I mean, it was very bad. You know, when you lay in bed for 8 days and just absolutely cannot breathe, it was very worrisome.
And so when you came in here and Dr. Tyson prescribed you medicine, how quickly did you recover?
I felt better within 3 days.
So it was a pretty quick turnaround.
Pretty quick, yes.
Do you think that his treatment saved your life?
Absolutely. Absolutely saved my life. Without his treatment, I don't think I would be sitting here.
We spoke with Dr. Brian Tyson, who explained that he's seeing a high number of breakthrough cases just like Conway's, contradicting the CDC's claims that the vaccine is the solution to the pandemic.
Now, what I'm about to tell you can't be considered scientific, but it's just something that a critical thinker would think, and that is, number one, think about how often you see people going into the hospital and put on ventilators and they die, compared to people who get treatments that don't include a ventilator. And some of their treatments you're being told you shouldn't take, like hydroxychloroquine and zinc together. And other, I don't know, there's several different doctors with several different regimens that they've had 100% cure rates. But the experts are telling you to go in and then they want to put you on a ventilator right away. And, I mean, there are all other questions that you can ask. You know, keep asking questions. Think critically. And I want this to be understood. BBF is not anti-vaccine. If you choose to get a vaccination, that's between you and God. We are simply opposed to forced vaccination.
Yeah.
And we're opposed to lies.
Yes.
And this is the culture we live in today, is so wicked and godless that we are the bad guy because we don't want forced vaccinations in violation of your God-given human rights, and against the Nuremberg Code, and against your Constitution. and we don't want you lied to.
Yeah.
And we're the bad guy.
Amen.
We believe in honest, informed decisions. And two, this is connected. China continues to threaten war. And if you're not watching real news, you may not even know this is happening. China warns Taiwan independence means war as U.S. pledges support. I'm going to give you the facts behind China and Taiwan before I give comments. China and Taiwan have had separate governments since the end of the Chinese Civil War in 1949. Beijing has long tried to limit Taiwan's international activities, and both have vied for influence in the Pacific region. Two, tensions have increased in recent years, and Beijing has not ruled out the use of force to take the island back. Three, although Taiwan is officially recognized by only a handful of nations, its democratically elected government has strong commercial and informal links with many countries. And four, like most nations, the U.S. has no official diplomatic ties with Taiwan, but here's the linchpin on the grenade that will blow. A U.S. law does require it to provide the island with the means to defend itself. So if China tries to take over Taiwan, the United States military will send over, like we have the Taliban. Our military has armed the Taliban so they can get a war going on again over there.
Yeah.
And they're going to arm Taiwan, so that Taiwan can fight. Well, that's considered an act of war by China. And so that will escalate things. If you ever study the wars that we've gotten into, it always starts with something little. And that leads to this, which leads to that, which leads to this and that, and then you have a full-blown war. And all informed believers must keep an eye on China. I believe, this is my personal belief, based on the evidence I've seen, that the China virus, which your ridiculously evil news media refuses to call a China virus, they don't even call it Wuhan, do they? They just call it COVID-19.
Yeah, COVID-19.
That virus leaked from the Wuhan lab that Tony Fauci and other Americans funded, and that was done, I believe, on purpose.
Amen. That's right.
And I believe it is the first shot fired in this war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are to destroy America. They've got to take down your economy. They've got to weaken your military. And they need a senile reprobate to be your president. And you're going to find a lot of this stuff going on with the election will go right back to China.
Yep. Amen.
And Revelation 16:12 says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." This is all setting the stage for eventually what will be Armageddon. And Jesus said, when you see these things start to happen, look up.
Amen.
Why? Because when it's full blown, we'll be out of here.
No.
But you can see these things starting to happen and look up. A lot of teachers think they're being real smart, and you know, there's no sign for the rapture. See, that's a half truth. There is no sign for the rapture. It could happen any moment. But when you see the signs leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ happening, then you know the rapture must be close.
Amen.
Here in the next few weeks, you're going to start seeing Christmas decorations going up in September. That means Thanksgiving is getting close. See? Actually, it just means it's football season. As soon as Christmas decorations go up, it's football season. That's what it is. All right, any comments or questions before we move on, Jill?
Yeah, a friend of mine was telling me that she'd been talking to doctors
other words, they might give you placebo. Yeah. They might give you the vaccine.
And that's an accusation I haven't been able to confirm. Yeah. But I can confirm that medical doctors and PhDs are the least likely to be vaccinated. Right now, the facts bear out that the medical doctors and anyone with a PhD is less likely to get the vaccine than the general population. Rick?
On that note, they're creating the healthcare crisis among nursing and doctors.
Yes,
absolutely.
They're not allowing them to come to work.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a problem with that. And we are already at war with China. It's quiet and covert, and it's information. The media's in on it, which was one, the other thing I wanted to say. The bioweapon and the vaccines from China. The OAN, what you played on there, the subtlety of saying the media and medical establishment, that the medical establishment is established with the media together.
Yeah.
They're in unit, and they're not the other doctors. They've suppressed all that stuff with the American frontline people. India has trials for hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin.
Yeah.
They're showing great stuff. And there's another drug I saw this morning on something.
Yeah, it starts with an R?
Yeah.
Yeah, Remdesivir or something.
Not Regeneron.
No.
Then there's Remdesivir, but then there's another new one that's out that I just saw this morning that's compared to ivermectin.
But it's real easy to make sure that the majority of medical doctors agree with you when anytime someone disagrees with you, you nullify their license.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see, that's how you stack the deck. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of medical doctors who have lost their license. Because they have disagreed with the scientism that is the cult that has taken over medicine in our country. Sean?
Well, first I'd like to introduce myself real quick. My name is Sean.
Hello, Sean.
First time here. Watched your guys' web series. Loved it.
Oh, really? Wow.
I thought you were going to say, my name's Sean, and I am a Bible addict. Yes. Sean and John.
I want to tell you what really, really brings me in here is I work for Facebook.
Oh.
I do security for Facebook. They are really laying down the hammer down on us about taking the vaccine.
Oh, wow.
And it's already mandated in the administration. I work at a data center. It's not there yet, but it's getting ready to happen. And my argument, and nobody asked this question, and my argument is that our body is the temple that houses the soul and the spirit of the Lord.
That's right.
So these mandates are not only against my free will, but go against that bond that I have with Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's getting to that point where they don't even recognize that this is your belief. But until we still have that law that protects us, I'm going to do everything I can to fight.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, by the way. And we've made this available. We've made this available to everybody online. And, of course, if you're here, I'll sign it for you. But if you go to our website, bbfio.com, go to resources, and you click on PDF downloads.
And
thank you for telling me that. That's modern technology is great in my work.
The moment you start talking, it went.
Facebook is listening.
There you go. So you go to bbfohio.com and you look on the banner at the top, you see resources, and you click on that and you'll see a link to PDF downloads. And you click on that and you'll see a bunch of PDF downloads. Makes sense, doesn't it? You go down to the bottom, you'll see two things you want to download. Number one is the Nuremberg Code.
Yeah.
Along with the Constitution we give away free of charge over here.
Amen.
And your King James Bible. Those three documents. And then we have a BBF letter of exemption, and you download that, and among other things, it discusses the fact that our bodies are the temple of God.
Yeah, what you just said, yeah.
And that is, we as a church are against any mandatory health measures, including mandatory vaccines. And we read this a couple of weeks ago. I won't read the whole thing, but it starts out by saying, whereas Bible Believers Fellowship holds the Holy Bible, King James Version in English, as our full and final authority on all matters of faith and practice, and whereas the Holy Bible teaches that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6:19, and whereas each of us shall be held accountable to God for what we put into or allow to be put into our bodies, Romans 14:12, and so forth and so on. It's a two-page document, actually. Yeah. And we printed off copies. They're around here somewhere. But you can download it, and if you need my signature, I'll sign it. But you don't actually legally need a signature. You just need to present these facts as your reason for declaring a religious exemption. And as long as this country remains free, that will work. Once that doesn't work, you know you're under a communist dictatorship or a communist oligarchy. And so thank you for that, Sean. It's a reminder to that resource that we have.
Thank you. I mean, that's exactly what I need to add to my accommodation. That's a blessing.
And I'm going to take one more, and then you can ask some more questions afterwards. But just write it down. it's not fun. It's not, we don't invite this kind of thing, but this is where you are, folks.
Yeah.
This is where you live. And I tell everybody, if you choose to get that vaccine, you are welcome and we love you. But we will pray for you, because half the people I know who've gotten the vaccine either have blood clot issues or have gotten COVID and gotten it very bad. And so it's not the protectant that they're saying. And we also don't know long-term effects. Sean was... he's one of the few that I've talked to who actually knows a lot about this. Some of you do too. But a lot of people don't realize that this has not been approved, because it's not gone under the actual trials that are required for anything to be approved for use. Anybody taking the shot is a guinea pig. You are part of a human experiment. And sadly, it's probably going to turn out to be like what happened. Was it Tuskegee? With the syphilis kind of thing. I mean, if they're doing what Jill said, that's exactly what they did. They took people and gave some a placebo and let them die and watched them die. So, what you going to say?
I just was listening to somebody talking on the radio that the CDC, they were discussing the CDC overreach, like granting this whole, like there's a lot of stuff going on in the government where multiple different people are doing massive overreach. Where the CDC does not have any authority to tell landlords not to evict people. And that's just one of the many, many things that has been going on. Our government is completely out of control right now.
Yeah. They are, yeah.
And granting emergency approval and then discussing mandates. Anyone in an executive office discussing mandating that's a huge overreach.
That's right. Amen.
They need thrown out right now.
There are lots of people that
they need evicted.
If the boys who started this country were around, they would be either swinging from trees or they would have holes.
It's true.
Like there's a lot of stuff that cannot be happening.
If anybody else had your hand up and wonder why I chose Charlie, you don't have these. You got my attention.
I'm sorry.
This is Ezra.
The grandbabies.
And my mom and my grandma and some others hear a lot about Ezra, and now they get to see him online for just a few seconds.
Aww. We love that boy.
He was so excited he dropped his shoes.
Well, he had to come. He left his stuff behind. When Papa calls, you don't worry about it.
What were they using instead of when people were on the bed later, they were there, but they weren't.
There are different medicines that I can give you some sources online.
We can
online.
Talk later. Yeah.
Thank you.
Some information that came into light recently about COVID, and I know that the occult likes their symbols. They like their words.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to go more in depth about it, but from what I've seen, if you take COVID and you spell it backwards, it's COVID. which is similar to the demon Divic, which means demon possession. And in Latin, it means to tear apart, to separate. And I just thought it was interesting that the WHO, the World Health Organization, had come up with the word COVID, because they really don't tell you.
You know, it sounds like crazy talk until you find out that these guys are all involved in secret societies with blood oaths, and, you know, they all get together in Bohemian groves. And
speaking of secret societies, Thomas is here. Good to see you, Tom.
Good to see you. All right, before we get into Bible study, we'll have a word of prayer. At the end, yeah.
Oh, we need to have the number so I can call them and tell them.
You have to call them now?
Give them an hour or so
to set up.
That's what we usually do.
Well, real quick, if you plan on going to China House, raise your hand so they can get a number.
All right. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You're welcome. All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer and then get into our Bible study.
What time do we plan to be there?
1:30. Boy, that puts me on the clock, don't it?
TikTok.
All right. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer and ask Brother John if you would.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be in your house today. And thank you for your word. Thank you for our stand on the Authorized King James Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to speak the truth here without being attacked and knocked over. Lord, thank you for the opportunities we have for sharing the gospel of Christ wherever we go. And Lord, we above all, thank you for the precious blood you shed in Calvary for our sins. And Lord, that your resurrection is proof that all our sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
We're going to dwell in your house forever and ever. Be merciful to us today. Remember, our frames are by dust. Lord, we don't have all the answers, but we know your word has all the answers. And may your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us today into all truth. Be lifted up and glorified in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Charlie.
Things right.
see little Bronwyn looking up at us going, I like that song, Grandma. Grandma wrote that one. All right. Luke 12, if you can get your Bibles open. If you came for the right reason, then this is it right here.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Luke 12, verse 41, where we'll pick up. And I'll have you join in and read the even verses with me. I'll begin verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. God's people say amen.
Amen.
So after being told to be ready for his return at any moment, we close with verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter asked the question, Speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? So Peter's asking for some clarification of what was just taught. And it's interesting, because when he says, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all, that's a key question for understanding God's word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to pay attention to who the passage is directed to. If not, then you'll see God telling somebody to build an ark, I'm sorry, and then Ken Ham built one.
Yeah.
That's a joke. I know he didn't do it on purpose. I mean, he didn't do it for that reason. But how many people you know go back and grab something from the Bible and fling it against the wall and say, That's for me! And then you realize, no, it's not. How many of you have heard about putting out a fleece?
Yeah,
that's not something you ought to do. Gideon was not a born-again Christian with the Spirit of God dwelling in him.
Amen.
You are.
Amen.
Gideon didn't have a Bible.
Amen.
You do. Amen. With the Word of God at your fingertips and the Spirit of God in you, there's no reason for you to be putting out fleeces. Amen. God and His Word will guide you. And you say things like, well, how's it going to guide me on how to buy, I got to buy a new car. How's the Bible going to guide me on that? Well, He'll tell you to be wise. He'll tell you not to be a sucker. He'll tell you to look at that car and drive it around, have somebody else who knows what they're doing look at it to make sure it's not a piece of garbage that's going to break down on you. He'll tell you to look it up in the book and make sure it's worth what they're charging. I mean, he tells you to be a good steward. He tells you to use wisdom, and so that helps you buy a car. Put out a fleece, you're liable to end up being suckered like I was one time, man. I got this black Oldsmobile, man, and this looked so nice. And I put some, you know, the fluffy stuff on the steering wheel. And I had the dice hanging from the rearview mirror. All the important stuff I covered. And then I'm heading down the road, and all of a sudden I look back, and there's blue smoke coming out the back. And it starts going, boom, The death throes. I pull off, get off the road, have the thing towed in, sitting in the waiting room like I'm in the emergency room. My car's on life support. And out comes the surgeon, all greasy, opens his hand up and shows me that there's sawdust in the oil. It's an old trick just to get you out of the parking lot and down the road a little ways before the car blows up on you. I didn't have anybody looking at it. I didn't call up my dad. He's helped me since then many times. I didn't call anybody or talk to anybody who knew anything about anything, and I certainly didn't know anything. So that's how the word works. Amen?
Amen.
But if the Bible tells you to do something and you think, oh, that's for me, but it's not for you, it can actually get you in trouble. I've referred to this before. There are some people who know just enough Bible to be dangerous. And that's what I'm talking about. Nick, can I have you shut those doors so we can keep the air conditioner in here? Sorry. It gets too hot. I'll have to switch my topic to hell. It's getting warm in here. Hey, Rick?
Well, it's like the Jeremiah 29:11 verse, and out of context, people claim that. You know, behold, I have the plans I have for you.
That's a perfect example.
You look at it before and after. It's talking about the destruction of Israel.
Habakkuk talks about, he says, I'm going to do a new thing, and it'll make your ears tickle. It'll be so, and you look at what he's saying. He's talking about wiping them out. And I've told the story of two different churches that I saw put that as their theme verse out on their sign. And like, wait a minute. I wanted to stop and say, you realize you're putting a verse, God's talking about destroying you if you're in apostasy. That's not a, but that's what happens when you don't ask the question Peter just asked.
Amen.
Who are you talking to, Lord? All of the Bible is written for us. Can you say that with me? All of the Bible is written for us. Now say this, but not all of it is written to us. You are not told to worry about eating fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are not told. On every year, Easter time, there's these people who have Passover Seders. They're all fake unless they kill a lamb.
In Jerusalem.
You see people all the time claiming to have Passover Seders. Where in the Bible is there a Passover Seder where God says, oh, by the way, you don't have to kill a lamb anymore? There's only one Passover. It includes killing a lamb. Now, you say, well, then why don't we do that? Because Jesus is our Passover. So we don't have Passover Seders, because if we did, we'd have to kill a lamb, and that'd be blasphemous. Jesus has already paid for our sins. So forth, so on, and what have you. Here's the key verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Some of you know this by heart. If so, close your eyes and say it with us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That means you got to ask questions about what?
What's right and what's wrong?
Context.
Yeah, some of you old timers know the three rules for interpretation. The first three rules are context. Brother Charlie was quoting my three rules back at me the other day. And it's true. You better find out the context, which is what Peter is talking about. An interesting note, Jesus doesn't answer directly. He doesn't just say, this is to this person or these people. Why? Because as we saw when we went through this, he went back and forth. There were times where he was talking about things that only pertained to the group in front of him. Then he spoke prophetically past the church age into the Great Tribulation period. So you've got to ask these questions. And if you don't have spiritual discernment, well, if you want to see what happens to people who don't have spiritual discernment and don't follow these rules, just turn on TBN. You'll see plenty of examples. But back in Luke 12, then, verses 42 and 43, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Number one, it's not the Watchtower Society. They claim this verse and claim that Jesus was talking about an organization that would come into existence in the late 19th century in Brooklyn, New York. And that's not... Jesus is asking a question. He's not prophesying. He's asking, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Is it you? See, this is one of those fun ones because it could be. He could be talking about you. And verse 43 says, read that with me. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You want to be that faithful and wise steward? You can. If you are rightly dividing the word of truth and you are sharing the message of the gospel and the message of the word in general to the people in your life, then you qualify. And blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. The promise of reward is only to those who do. That Christianity is not a spectator sport. No. You're all on the team. The only time you're a bench warmer is when you're sitting in here under the teaching of the word. The rest of the time, you're supposed to be in the game. You want to call it a race? Paul called it that. You want to call it a fight? Paul called it that. However you want to think of it, you're supposed to be engaged, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's another way of putting it. James said this in James 1:22, be ye what?
Doers
of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There are a lot of people who listen to the Bible, listen to teaching, and do squat. No, I didn't say squats. They do squat. They don't do anything. They're not a doer. J.C. Ryle, a great Anglican, when he wasn't preaching Anglican heresy, he had some great commentary on the Bible. And he says this, we hear a great deal about people's intentions and hopes and wishes and feelings. That's the big one today. Oh, yeah. And professions. It would be well if we could hear more about people's practice. It is not the servant who is found wishing and professing, but the servant who is found doing, whom Jesus calls blessed.
Amen.
Get busy. We keep this rack filled with gospel tracts, fellowship track league, chick.com. Take them as long as you'll give them away.
Amen.
Keep your arsenal full and give out those gospel tracts. And that's when you can't talk to somebody. When you can talk to somebody, talk to them. Pretend you're just talking about the weather. Just pretend. Say, you know, like, say, boy, beautiful day. I don't think it's supposed to rain today. No one ever has trouble talking about the weather. Boy, isn't it wonderful to be saved? Are you saved?
Amen.
Sure. Tell us, what do you do, John? Give us one of your one-liners. I had to put him on the spot, yeah, but he's got a million of them.
Come on, Charlie.
Well, I tried to become a friend with him in the first minute. And then I asked him, are you interested in history? Are you interested in
science? In other words, don't slap them, punch them, spit on them, you know, be nice to them.
So I find out what they're thinking, then I use that as the hook to go into the gospel.
Yeah. And, you know, the wrong way to do it?
Not doing it.
Yeah. Some of you say, well, that wouldn't work for me. Well, what works for you? If it's not illegal and not against the scripture, there's no wrong way of doing it. Doug?
Be a friend with a friend. It's kind of like when I talk to people, it's kind of like when people, I see a movie and they say, well, this movie's really great or something like that. And then they'll talk about it. For me, I talk about what the Lord's done.
Proverbs says if you want to have a friend, you have to first be friendly. Yeah. Joe?
We knew a guy at this one church who would look at him and say, if you're not saved, you're a bastard.
Yeah.
Hey. This man won more.
It's not illegal and it's not against Scripture, so have at it.
He had an eight-passenger van and was committed with 16.
Yeah. Another point we want to make before we move on, though, is do what we're talking about, but that doesn't have anything to do with saving you. You're not doing this to be saved. You're saved not by good works. You're saved unto good works.
Amen.
And it's a review for some of you, but I want you to turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. We've done this a few, three or four months ago, and I want to do it again. Ephesians 2, very well-known Bible verses, beginning verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And people stop there, and that's fine a lot of times, but read verse 10, if you're there, read verse 10 with me. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I have people all the time say, "Oh, you Baptists and you dispensationalists, you people, you don't believe in works." I say, "You know, we believe in works. We just don't think you should think it has anything to do with saving you. You are saved by faith, not of works." Amen. And once you get that backwards, you got it completely 100% wrong. We're rewarded in the here and now, by the way, and in the coming kingdom age. Some people only think of rewards in the flesh right here and now. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, you're just as concerned about what's coming, not just what you can get out of God right now. In Revelation 1, turn there if you can. Last book of the Bible, should be easy to find. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, begins, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." See, your salvation is by works. Jesus' works.
Amen.
Not yours.
Amen.
And then what happens? Read verses 6 and 7 with me. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." So just want to be clear, we're talking about this is a reward that's in his return. The church being raptured, and those who are raptured and resurrected and then saved at the end of the tribulation, all are given reward. And it says those who are already saved now are included with those who are saved when he returns. We are made kings and priests. You ever think about, I'm not telling you to go walk around telling everybody, "I'm a king. Bow to me. My golden scepter," you know, nothing like that. But in reality, we have that in our future, to rule as kings under the King of Kings.
Amen.
Then verse 44 says, "Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." Jesus is telling you what we just read. He will make him, those who have been saved, overcomers, washed in his blood, he will make him ruler over all that he had. It's not just big talk. We're told this about our future in the kingdom in 2 Timothy 2:12, just one of many places. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him."
Amen.
So anytime you feel like the world's coming down on you or poor me, you start having a pity party or whatever, remember that's not how a king should act. If you believe God's word, you know there's coming a time you're going to reign with him.
Amen.
So let him bring it on.
Amen.
And then verse 45, 46. "But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunk." You say, "Well, what kind of professional Christian would do that?" I'll tell you. Denominations.
Amen.
The Roman Catholic Church. The Eastern Orthodox churches. Various cults. They have put off the second coming. They hardly ever talk about it. They don't preach about it. They don't sing about it. They don't talk about it. You ask the typical person in the mainline denomination, they're not even thinking about Jesus coming. What are they thinking about? Building a kingdom on this earth. And what do they do? What Jesus said. They begin to beat. You know who's persecuted more Christians than? There's only one group that's persecuted more Christians, possibly, because the numbers are kind of in the air, than the Roman Catholic Church, is the communists.
Yeah.
Other than the communists, the Roman Catholic Church, through the Inquisitions, has persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, and killed more professing Christians than any other organization on the earth, and running a close second is Islam, another religion. Well, they throw the Bible out. They don't even believe in the right Jesus. Their Isa is not even the real Jesus. So when you get away from God's word and stop looking toward the kingdom to come, you become a kingdom builder. And kingdom builders are bloody killers.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
It's a hard truth, but the Lord's delay has exposed many frauds. Not just the big denominations, but even some of our loved ones. Yes. Scripture with scripture. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 19. 18 and 19. I'll read 18. It says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." We talked about this before. It's been 2,000 years, but in God's time, it's been 2 days. Now read verse 19 with me. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So you see these people who end up turning on Christians, trying to overpower them and rule over them, and they abuse others. Whether it's a big denomination or just some person you know, they're exposing the fact that they're lacking the Spirit of God. There's something wrong with their spirit. There's something wrong with their profession. So back to Luke 12, and we close with verses 47, 48. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." That sounds scary.
Yes.
Verse 48, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." I believe this speaks of justice at judgment and not literally having people beaten at the judgment. I could be wrong. Don't risk it. I mean, seriously, I don't believe there's going to be that kind of literal. I say this because some do teach this. They teach there'll be literal beatings at the judgment. But I believe that Jesus is speaking in terms of parable here. And so he's using stripes in the sense of a parable, not in a literal sense. We're given the literal explanation by Paul, if you want to turn there real quick. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're told the literal explanation of what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ, beginning in verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest." And it doesn't say, "and he'll be beaten" or anything like that. You know, it says, "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." And it's not burning the person. It's not purgatory. "And the fire shall try every man's" what?
Works.
See, the fire is testing the work, not the person, of what sort it is. And read verses 14, 15 with me. "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So that's why I don't believe there's going to be literal beatings. But if I'm wrong and, you know, the Lord beats one of you, you look at me, I'm just going to say... But I feel very confident in my position. So, Paul also taught that when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are to be reminded of what we're talking about this morning. Have you thought of that? When you take the Lord's Supper. Yes, it is to remind us that he died on the cross. His body was broken. He shed his blood. Yes, that's all true. But look at what Paul says. I should have told you to stay in 1 Corinthians. And turn over to chapter 11. 1 Corinthians.
It's right there.
Heart just skipped a beat. I didn't see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. My wife is so good to me. I totally forgot about getting that stuff up here. Verse 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. What's the rest of the verse say? This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, what? In remembrance of me. Now listen, some people lose track of that and they just think it's just about the death of Christ on the cross. Read verse 26 with me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We do not have a Savior who came and died for us, and that's the end. And so when we take communion, we're reminded that he died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. But this Savior isn't still dead. Having risen, he ascended, Acts chapter 1, and promised to return and to receive you unto himself.
Amen.
And so when we take that communion, we're not remembering the dead. We're remembering the death of our risen Savior who is alive and is coming again. See? And that makes communion all that much sweeter. So we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to ask Brother Doug and Brother John, if you would, come forward. And we will distribute the bread and the cup as Grandma hands off the baby. It comes up to play a little softly, play some music in the background, so that as you are receiving these, that you will do some self-reflection. If you are not saved, you should not partake. If you are saved and you're living a double life, a hypocrite, you're living in sin, you should take care of that right now. If you're not willing to do that, you shouldn't partake. Jesus died for your sins, not so you could continue to live in sin. You could find freedom in Christ. And so when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But that takes your contrition, you confessing. So as we distribute these, this is just between you and him. Open your heart. Make things personally between you and the Lord. Jesus took the bread. Have the matzah, the burnt edges. Speaking of the burnt sacrifice Jesus fulfilled and the fact that he saved all. Unleavened, Jesus was without sin. He who knew no sin on the cross became sin like that brazen serpent. Look and live. It's pierced. Jesus was pierced, his hand, feet, and his side. Broken. His body broken for you, for your sin, not his sin, for my sin, not his own sin. Gave his life for us. Again, if you're saved and your heart is clear with the Lord, take. And as we do what he did for us.
God, just thank you for this time to let us examine ourselves, as it says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is a time between you and the Lord, and it hurts for them. And you died for us, you shed your blood. Third day you rose for us, and you are at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord, for it all. In Jesus' holy, precious name.
Amen.
Think about what Jesus has done for us. God, manifest in the flesh, came to this earth in human form to die. Say it just like this: to die for my sins. We don't spend enough time just meditating on that one fact. Because he died for my sins in spite of me, not because of me. He died demonstrating love like we've never known and never will know. What a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
As they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them, as we've already done, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. "We thank you, Lord, for your shed blood. We thank you, Lord, that you took all sin upon you. You died for the sins of the whole world. A full propitiation, as it's called. And appropriation belongs to all who will come to you. You will not reject any. None deserve it. Thank you for your grace, your love, and your free salvation in Jesus' name. And they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine," here he goes again, "until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Amen.
We partake of this, observing and remembering the death of our risen Savior who's coming again.
Amen.
We are going to sit down with him and eat and drink. It's going to be amazing. Isn't it?
Amen.
And when they had sung in hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. BBF, we are going to sing a hymn and go to a Chinese restaurant. But if you would, stand and sing with us, "When He Cometh," page 150. Somebody ask, and I'm going to do it. They ask me just once to show your beautiful faces. Of course, we right here is the most beautiful, right there too. No offense, but they just, I'm not going to keep you on here long. Just to show, some of you recognize some of the faces, some. You're thinking, wow, that's a weird-looking dude. But anyway.
Thanks, friend.
So now, on three, try to get everybody in there, best I can. On the three, one, two, three, see you here, there, or in the air. Goodbye. Say goodbye.